Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications. I want to thank the One Institute once again for being our sponsor and bringing us to you every week so we can talk about all the wonderful things and magic that Dr. Allen gets and has to share with us. I want to remind you all that you can go to www.drpatallen.com and find out more information about our November seminar. And Dr. Allen, what have you got to say about your November seminar?
What I've got to say about it is the basic training from 9 to 5 about chemistry, compatibility, communication, how to negotiate instead of intimidate and seduce, to decide whether you're a career man and woman or a woman and a man with a career. It takes care of all kinds of yin and yang subjects and teaches you the 5 tools of negotiation.
Awesome. So, Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Yes.
And what have you got to say to us tonight?
I'm looking forward to the questions.
All right. So here's the first question. And this one was brought to me face-to-face by one of our many visitors to Monday Night. And here's how it goes. She tells me that she is over 50 and menopausal. And she also tells me that she has a really wonderful, respectable man on the back burner and 3 or 4 men on the front burner. And she's active with them sexually, with the exception of the man on the back burner, who she thinks is the keeper. She wants to know if that's wrong, if it's right. And, of course, I know you're always saying you're not a moralist, but what do you have to say?
Well, for women who are sex addicts, or they pick with their eyes, I give them permission from their physical universe to have a lover while they're hunting for their man.
Right.
Because there are women who are very, very masculine. Often they're wounded before they're 10. Sexually.
Right.
And because of that, their brain is dopamined up the wall with receptors. And because of that, they cannot wait to have intercourse.
Right.
And when they do have premature intercourse, what happens is it is just a hookup and you're not building. Remember, no friendship advances past the first leg.
Right. So it's basically, it's just play. Just really
what
play.
She's doing is dehorning herself. What she doesn't realize is by dehorning herself, the man she really wants doesn't have the ability to seduce her because he is probably wanting to make love. People who want to make love periodically have sex.
Right.
People who have sex, which is an animal event.
Right.
People who want and seek sex rarely make love.
Right.
And the interesting thing is when they get to 45 to 50, because the body just isn't as horny as it was, and they don't have the skills of the feeling of making love, they end up impotent and frigid. The women don't lubricate, and the men have difficulty with erections.
Very interesting. Well, it looks like we got a couple of calls. Let's take one now. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, long-time listener, first-time callers. Am I on with Pat?
Yes, you are. Here I am.
Hi, Pat. I really have enjoyed reading your book. And I've gone
good.
To your Monday
Which
night
book?
Classes.
Getting to I Do, Staying Married and Loving It. Which
both
one?
Both of them. Both of them. And I'm good. Not even married, but I just I love reading and I'm learning in leaps and bounds. And I have a couple of quick questions for you.
Go for it.
If you have the time.
Yeah, I do. I've got 55
Okay, so I want to start
minutes.
By saying my boyfriend is a lefty, because I know that that's important with the thinking
he
and
has
healing.
A large corpus callosum, so, which means he can blend his thoughts and feelings like you and I.
Yes. So the first question is, now we've recently rekindled our romance. We were living together, and then we broke up, and then I found you, and we now are back together. And he's been saying things, kind of pillow talk things about us moving back in together. And I haven't said anything but being positive and supportive about that. But what I want to say to him is that I don't want to live together without being married or engaged. And I just don't have the words. Could you help me with that?
First of all, you be him and you ask me if you can come and move in. You be him.
Okay. Here's how it usually goes down. He's like, oh, I really miss working out and doing stuff with you. We've got to figure out how to move in together again, and you got to get that sorted out. I want more time with you.
I think that's wonderful, and I want to thank you, and I love the time we've had together. However, I don't want to be a live-in girlfriend. I want to be a live-in fiancé. I don't expect to be a live-in wife, because that may be down the line. But I want either a promise ring on my finger, or I want an engagement ring. Because I don't want to be a live-in girlfriend. There's no honor to that.
Excellent. And yes, because the other thing is we each have a child, and I don't want to tear them back apart again, because that was emotional for them. They're very young.
Yes.
So, excellent. My second question is, do I always need to wait for him to reach out to me now that we're in a monogamous, long-term relationship? Like, is it, I asked some of the other people that have been studying your work longer, and they've all kind of said it's a two-for-one
yes,
with calling and texting.
I believe that. I believe that. I believe that the first 3 months, 6 months are courtship. That's one person, either woman or man to man or woman to woman. Somebody is Fred Astaire and is chasing Ginger Rogers, courting, giving little gifts, big gifts, dinners, movies, whatever. And Ginger, whoever that is saying, thank you, I so appreciate that. But the sign that a man is on the way to a commitment really is when he says, are you dating other people? Of course, aren't you? Well, no. What is the reason? I want us to be a team. I want us to be monogamous. He will
mm-hmm.
say.
And he's done that both times right off. He's been very aggressive with wanting to lock it down.
When he wants to lock it down, you decide if you're ready to lock it down. And then you say, thank you so much. I'd be more than willing to be in a committed, monogamous, continuous, long-term, with mating, without marriage, with marriage, whatever,
mm-hmm.
if you agree. So do you agree?
I do, and we are together. I just feel like I'm a babbling brook, and I call my girlfriends all the time. And sometimes I want to call him just to kind of shoot the breeze.
Yes, but do you understand?
Like,
2-1. If he calls you twice, any time a man is good to you, I want you to appreciate it. Giving, protecting, and cherishing is very desirable in a man. And when he does that, and you're in a committed relationship, he has a feminine side too, his anima. Call him up and say, mm-hmm. just want you to know, I had a great time last night, and you're really very, very nice. Stroke him. But I want it to be 2-1, courtship type, one person. And if you're the man, and you courted him, then it's 2-1 for him to appreciate you. So do you want to be the egg or the sperm?
I want to be the egg.
If you want to be the egg, and he has penetrated you with his marvelous commitments to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term, then you reward him with a 2-1 ratio.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I actually have a girlfriend here that has a quick question. She's a longtime Pat Allen girl, too. Do you have a time for her?
Yes.
Okay. Here she is. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Hi there.
Hi there, friend of the girl that got on the phone.
Hi, I have a couple of, I want to get some clarity on, I've talked to you a few times and I'm doing the work. And I just want to know, you mentioned when a man is does the bait and switch, and then you say he's testing you. What does testing you mean?
He's testing you for motherhood. Bait and switch is a game where he courts you, and then all of a sudden, he stops courting you. He doesn't, he may be passive aggressive. He may not even keep agreements. He may pull away. He may call far less than he did. And what I suggest is track him, stay behind him. If he doesn't call, don't call him, unless you are in a committed relationship and you already have negotiated time, space, money, and play, whereupon you will say, I want us to have one date night, and I'd love it. I'd feel good if you called me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We went out on Saturday. What do you think about that, sir? And when you do that and he agrees, then if he doesn't do it, that's bait and switch. It means that he's courting you, and then he stops, so that when he calls you, you do the following. Honey, I want to talk to you about something that may be a little sensitive about our relationship. Is it convenient? And he says, yeah, what is it? You have every right not to keep the agreements that we made, but it's very painful for me, and I don't want to be in pain with you because it turns me off. So, do you want to renegotiate? For example, do you want to just go out once a week and call me twice a week? What's your agenda?
Okay. So is testing usually coming from men who are not real men, but more Peter Pan?
Not necessarily. I hate to mention this, but the job of a man from the time he's 0 to 10 years old is to stop wanting women to mother him. And mothering is giving him, protecting him, and cherishing him without getting permission to do so, and doing it because you want to mother him. And so I think a lot of men would love to have a mother. And you know what we women have to do? We have to find out what would attract the man. Men have to push away mom, and women have to attract dad. Now, if dad is a drunk, and we have to take care of him when he's drunk, or if dad becomes sexual, and we have to service him, that's not your dad. That's your little baby boy wanting you to mother him in not too legal, not too good ways. So don't let men con you into becoming giving, protecting, and cherishing mothers. Instead, be women that reward men for being men.
Okay, and you've also mentioned when men court you or date you or you're in a relationship and they agree that you're on the same page, in other words, with compatibility being that you're moving towards marriage.
Yes.
And then you, and maybe 9 months go by or a year goes by, and then they kind of change the mind and they're not so keen to marry.
That's kind of normal. Marriage for a man is taking on responsibility. Marriage for a woman is giving up a lot of independence. So there are women that will not agree to get married, and there are men who get afraid of the responsibility. But when they start shirking their responsibility, the bad thing is we step in and start mothering. If we stand still and we don't mother them, eventually they get it. They have to give, protect, and cherish us to get us to give back. If they don't like us unless we mother them, they leave us. And we let them go, and we look at what's going on for 8 weeks. And if he's making a mistake and losing you, he may call up and say, I don't want to lose you. What does it take? What it takes is for you to keep your agreements with me to give, protect, and cherish.
Well, I actually was there last Monday, and I questioned that, and you said it's possible that a man can be sociopath when they say yes to agreements, and then they change their mind.
You're absolutely right, and I recommend Sandra Brown's book, Women Who Love Psychopaths, and that is don't sign a legal agreement, don't loan money, don't borrow money, don't buy a house, don't get married for a year, because a psychopath and a sociopath, what's the difference? A psychopath cons you into thinking that you're wrong, wanting them to cherish you before they think you're wrong, and they try to convince you you're wacko. A sociopath is going to set you up for a robbery. He's going to either marry you and then do something with your money or your property or your credit cards. So when men are not good men, it takes about a year to find that out. And I recommend Women Who Love Psychopaths, Sandra Brown.
So with that book, you're saying you can see the signs, or you can kind of get an idea of what the behavior is.
Absolutely. And here's a symptom. Oh, he's going through a lot of stress at work. I really want to mother him for the time being. Okay, mother him, but if he likes it, you are going to get angry.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Okay, our call-in number, 323-203-0815. So the next question, Dr. Allen,
yes,
is, this lady is an executive in a business.
Good.
She is wildly, madly, and crazily attracted to her coworker.
Man or woman, is she straight or gay?
She's straight.
Okay.
This gentleman and her are generally right about the same age. They hold positions with about equal power. He's shown a lot of interest in her, but office politics and things like that being what they are, she's fearful, even though she really wants to go for it. Obviously, she has alpha tendencies. So we have a call coming in. Should we take it and we'll come back?
Go ahead.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
I have a question. I have a hormone doctor who is prescribing me bioidenticals that mimic my healthiest hormone levels as a person with a womb. I'm over 50 years old.
Yes.
And he's giving me bioidentical estrogen and progesterone.
I'm not a medical doctor. I do not want to argue about a medical doctor. If you are comfortable doing what he's saying, I support you and him.
Yes, I am feeling very healthy doing this.
Good.
And also it's restoring my feminine hormone levels.
Good. And what's that doing to you?
So what I wanted to ask you is, does that change the way I relate to my over 50 husband? Do I relate to him still as a yin woman, or?
How old is your husband? He's over 50.
Yes.
Okay. So his testosterone level's going down. Is he been checked for that level?
I don't know, but I think he hasn't been checked, but he's taking herbal testosterone.
I appreciate that. So he's doing his own medical attention. That may not be the smartest thing. And I want to suggest to most men, when there are men listening, that they have their estrogen level evaluated. Because estrogen is a feeling depression-oriented system of chemicals that you really need to know what is your level and is it normal. And we women, as we get older, we start going on our masculine chemistry. So you're on your bioidenticals, and that's just fine. And when you deal with your husband over 50, I want you to play to his maleness. In other words, when it's a choice, please use the tools. Don't ask him what he feels. Ask him what he thinks and what he wants and what you can do to help him do it. If he asks you what you think, tell him what you feel. But don't ask him what he feels unless he's ill physically. Now, here's where it changes at 45 to 50. When he says to you, honey, you know what? I'm really upset about the blank, blank, blank. You don't say, what do you think about it? You say, what can I do to help you feel better? Because he signaled you that he was talking about his feelings. Do you see, when you're going towards 50, you both want to be respected. You both want to be cherished. But I advise,
regardless of our hormone doctor.
Yes. What okay. I want is that you initiate with permission. Honey, I have an idea about where to go, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, who to do it with. When would it be convenient for you to listen? I want you to fake beta and be very, very respectful. But when he brings up his feelings, I want you to say, what can I do to help you and I feel better? And when you bring up your thinking, I would love it if he would say, what can I do to help you and I do better? Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. So you're basically saying the tools stay the same over 50.
No, over I didn't say that. I said...
No, you're over 50 tools.
I said, I want you to fake beta, which means you respect him. See, the biggest problem that men have is when their women become men and it becomes a competition. I want women to respect men over 50, even if they know that you are a stronger man than they are. Because we get very much more male when we get older, while they get female. Here's what I said. When he brings up his feelings, you can always ask him how he feels when he's physically ill. But when he brings up his anger, his jealousy, his sadness about something, I want women to say, what can I do to help you and I feel better? And for if there are any men listening, I want you to always have the courage to say what you want, say what you think, and ask your woman, mate or marriage, how they feel about it, and listen to whether they say feel or think. I feel that you're a control freak is not a feeling. I feel angry that you're a control freak. But gentlemen, when your woman says, I have an idea, a thought, a want, an opinion about this or that, is it convenient or comfortable for you to listen to me? Yes. I want them to say, what can I do to help you and I do it?
Okay.
Over 50, we are both. But I want you to play to the youthful side. More you respect men at any age, the more they feel cherished. And guys, the more you cherish us, the more we feel respected. It's paradoxical.
Got it. But the hormones so don't have anything to do with what you're...
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. You know what they do? They help you feel neurobiologically good. Just as testosterone helps a man feel potently, muscularly masculine. There's only one problem. That
based on their organs, sexual organs.
Yes.
Okay. So if my father didn't cherish me as a young girl, doing the hormones that help me stay, does it help my nervous system and regain health in that regard?
It doesn't do psychologically. It does neurobiologically, which impacts your communication, your thinking.
Okay, it clears up my thinking.
It sensitizes. See, here's why I want men to check their estrogen, because they're going on estrogen. And they don't realize that if they're not balanced estrogen-wise, they could end up with a depression.
Okay. And also the last question, when should mom stop nurturing her daughter?
When she's dead.
Mom nurtures daughter her whole life.
Nurturing means she checks feelings.
Okay.
See,
but Okay, she only stops nurturing the son at 10.
She says, you know what? You have a right to not clean your room, but I'm not comfortable with it. What can I do to help you feel better about cleaning your room?
Okay.
That's two women both wanting to feel good. And here's about a son and his father. Son, I want to do this or that or thus or so. What do you think about that? Dad, I think it's somewhat good, but I'm not comfortable doing that. What do you think about that, Dad? And they negotiate. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Thank
you,
caller.
That's great. Thank you so much.
All right, Dr. Allen. So, inter-office romance. You give a lot of lectures to major corporations.
Yes.
He said, she said, the bank said.
Yes.
So, can you talk a little bit about office romance and office relationships as far as working relationships, not necessarily romantic?
Well, I'll start out with a couple. If a couple are in business, and that means they both get a paycheck,
mm-hmm.
they can't mix business talk with marriage talk. They have to make an appointment. I make them wear baseball caps or put up a flag.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Which means that they both know they're in their thinker. I think this, what do you think? I want this, what do you want?
Do gotcha.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
When they want to do relationship stuff, you can't have dinner and do business at the same time.
Right.
When you do it, the business money talk kills the intimacy.
Right. It does.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
So I want at home, I'm starting out at home.
Right.
I want people to realize that when you're working partners, which is just fine, you must remember, sit in the office, sit at the kitchen table, go out and sit in the car, sit on the swing, but you're both male and you talk male.
Right.
And you don't say, you're always trying to run everything. No.
Then when you shed that business coat and you're quote-unquote at home.
Then when you're at home, somebody's got to be, I think, how do you feel? And what can I do to help us feel better? And I don't feel very good. What do you think? And what can I do to help us do better?
Right.
Do you see that?
I do.
But now, going to the office.
Right.
At the office, Women's Lib has got us at least the fantasy of equality.
Right.
Right? We still aren't getting equal pay.
Still the glass ceiling.
And a white blouse goes to a dry cleaner and costs more than a white shirt.
That's correct.
Do you understand?
I do.
So we have not gotten to the point where at work and in commerce, did you see where, what was it, Walmart is not going to advertise boy toys, girl toys?
Right, they're desexualizing.
Yes, desexualizing. So when you go to work, I had a darling woman who shall be nameless that was an executive, and she went gaga over a fellow male gorgeous executive.
Right.
And she started thinking about divorcing her husband.
Wow.
But she got a hold of my book, right?
Right.
And she came in to see me. And she realized that what she was really doing was growing older. She was aiming into 45.
Right.
And what she was doing was naturally chemistry.
Right.
And when a man gets to be periandropause, he starts chasing Miss Teeny Bopper, 30-year-old, you know, and loses his money, his health, his family.
So, essentially a midlife crisis.
It's a midlife crisis. And this is what I say. Most smart companies tell their employees, do yourselves a favor. No dating in-house.
Right.
Somebody changes jobs.
Right.
Or asks for a move to another section of the company in another state.
Right, right.
Because women that are younger and men that are older follow their instinct.
Right.
And that instinct is sexual.
Right.
And somehow it always interferes at the office.
That makes total sense.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I see exactly what you're saying.
So I personally think you're better off if he's really or she's really your important person. you're both getting a divorce? Because these are often married people
right.
in bad marriages,
mm-hmm.
having lunch together, having an emotional affair. You know what the big addiction is? I'm an addiction specialist.
Right, you are.
The big addiction is the emotional relationships on the computer.
Yes, on the internet. And I would agree
internet.
With that. I'm seeing a lot. I have a lot of clients that are coming to me and saying, I feel betrayed. I feel cheated upon. I found this conversation. He forgot to close on the computer or in the, you know, the log on the computer. And he was very intimate, in messages on the computer system. And they feel like it's a betrayal. And they do feel like it's an affair of the heart, an affair of the mind.
And I want to remind you, the sperm cell has 21 genes on it strictly to help a man be intuitive.
Right.
A man can be intuitive across the world. A woman, on the other hand, is built instinctively. There are more neurotransmitters in the guts. What's a neurotransmitter? Dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine.
Right.
A woman feels what's immoral, unethical, and illegal. A man thinks it.
Right.
And he does it based on the most minute pieces of data. So if you want to jeopardize your marriage and your life, try to mix business and sex.
Right.
At the office.
At the office. So what is your position on how somebody should handle it if their mate has had an online affair, essentially?
God willing, they get to me.
Yeah.
They read the book. The woman that had this issue, she came to in one session.
That's fantastic.
She said, my God, I almost left my husband for nothing.
Right.
Just for the emotion and the feeling and the excitement of sexual dopamine.
Right. And it is for some people, it's extremely overwhelming feeling. So I understand. But yeah, is it actual or is it just bleeding?
No, it's actual. You can sit next to somebody in church and get an erection and lubricate.
Right.
But in 3 days... you won't remember.
Right.
It takes 3 days to detox over a rise in sexual interest. It's the same as heroin or sobering up.
Wow. Okay.
It's a biochemical issue.
Yeah, that's amazing. We've got a call. Let's see what they want. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I'm wondering how you work through a script when someone has triggered you.
Oh, someone being a man?
Yes. I was out on a date with someone the other night, and we were sitting in a restaurant, and he said, oh my God, I know that person over there. And then it turned out that he had dated her, and then I had dated the guy she was with.
Oh my God.
Oh, and so when we got outside, he explained and he told me a lot more about her and the situation. And I just got sick to my stomach. And
I understand.
Several days later. And I know he wasn't even seeing me at the time, but I still got sick to my stomach. And
I
so
understand.
I know he's turning something in me.
You're perfectly normal, and it takes 3 days to sober up. When did you have this event? What day?
It was Wednesday.
Wednesday this week?
Yeah.
Okay, this is only Friday.
Right.
Wednesday, you were higher than a kite on the awareness. Wednesday, you were drunk as skunks on the feelings. Thursday, today is Friday. You're
right.
Going to feel better tomorrow night. It takes 3 days to detox off a chemical rush.
But I think it triggered something much deeper in me.
Really?
The realization that he's not going to appreciate me for who I really am if that's what he was looking for before.
I got news for you. He wasn't looking for it. He found that woman, and that woman found him, and they needed to exchange a lesson. What was the lesson he learned from her?
Well, he said he thought she's alpha, but I'm alpha. She doesn't seem like she's alpha at all based on what he described. She seems like she's more of a man with a penis.
I got news for you. Many alpha women act like men with penises. Many men who are alphas are mean SOBs. Alpha is not necessarily a nice thing. There's a wonderful book by Richard Conniff, who writes for National Geographic, and it's called The Natural History of the Rich. Now, what it's really about is bad alphas. A bad alpha could be a woman who leans on her brain instead of balancing her brain and her heart and letting her heart lead. And a bad alpha can be a man that is a spoiled brat little boy who absolutely feeds off women. So good and bad alpha, good and bad betas.
Okay.
I think you're jumping to a conclusion when I think what they had was a lesson or he'd still be with her. But every time he sees her, it's going to trigger a memory viscerally of the lesson he learned. Did you get the lesson he learned? Did he tell you?
Yeah, he did, but he didn't really. He doesn't really think about things very deeply. He just says either the sex is good or it's not good, and then if the woman does something to pressure him or corner him, then he's done.
I got news for you. He knows intuitively when he's being disrespected. Now I'm going to ask you the question. She was dating somebody you dated. Why aren't you with that man?
He wanted a mother.
That's what I'm saying. He fed off of your brain. Do you understand? So alphas have big hearts and big brains, and those battle each other. And alphas are very susceptible to addictive behavior, including sex over making love, including eating, including drinking. Just because you're an alpha doesn't mean you're a good guy or a good girl. So I think both of you saw two people that you've outgrown, but you learned lessons from. You don't want to mother a weak man, and you've not got a weak man. Is he a strong man?
He is, but he's not acting like an anchor man right now.
What is he doing?
He's acting more boyish.
So he's slipping into his beta.
Yeah, he's slipping into feminine, and I'm finding myself overcompensating for things.
So what you're doing is you're slipping into masculine, mother.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you ever thought of setting the standard and not mothering him, even if he pulls on you?
Well, that's probably my lesson here.
That's right. This is your second man that wants you to mother him.
I have many more than that.
Well, this is the second one you've talked to me about.
Right.
Stop giving, stop protecting, stop cherishing. Please take care of yourself. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, the doctor's office, and in every relationship. Is your father a wuss or a man?
He's a wounded person.
He's a wuss. Is your mother a man?
She's very tough.
Therefore, you are copying your mother's demonstration. I suggest that you be a woman when a man is trying to be a boy.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, so we were talking about relationships in the workplace, and one of the questions that keeps coming up is, how do I know if who I'm dealing with, how to deal with them in just a work relationship? If I want to make a suggestion, do I need to make an appointment? Am I the alpha? Are they the alpha? And of course, I know you say we're all
men at work. Therefore, use the tools even when you're trembling.
Right.
So I have an idea. Is it convenient for you to listen? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Do not seek counsel. I just hate my marriage.
Right.
Don't be dragging your private life into relationships at work unless you want the complexity of a dual relationship. And I guarantee you, you'll ruin your job.
Right. So this person's actually asking, they have an idea. They have an idea at work, and they want to present it.
But is it about private life?
No, it's work-related.
Oh, it's work-related.
So that's the thing. She's a female. Most of her coworkers are male, but they're about the same executive level.
Yes.
And she's feeling intimidated about stepping up and making this presentation or asking to make the presentation.
What she's doing is faking beta.
Right.
But you fake beta in your private life, not at the office, unless you have an SOB boss who needs all women to grovel.
So what tool do you recommend she uses? Which
one? She must get permission. I have a suggestion, an idea, a want, an opinion about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
When would it be convenient to have a meeting with you and the board and whatever?
Perfect, perfect. So she's going to use the same tools you use.
Nothing different.
Nothing different.
Except, I think, what do you think? I want, what do you want?
So directly, like you've discussed, even at home business relationships, it's the same principle.
No.
Yeah, you said at home.
At home,
we both wear ball caps. We're talking to each other. If we're romantic partners that have a business together.
Yes, and you right.
Right.
But I didn't hear that.
Right.
I heard at home, and I immediately saw that competition in equality. Equality produces competition.
Right.
In communication.
So
equity produces intimacy. I think. How do you feel? How can I help us feel better? I don't feel good. What do you think? What do I do to help us do better?
Right.
That's equity.
She feels intimidated by the other males. So there's six males. She's one female. Six other males.
I got news for you. Everybody's male.
Right.
What she's saying is she is demonstrating what drives women's libbers crazy.
Right.
Women who are ashamed of using their masculine side, their left brain.
Right.
Because they're all women. There is no such animal as an all-woman or an all-man. Men have masculine bodies, but yin souls, the anima.
Right.
Women have yin bodies, but masculine souls, the animus. Emma Jung, Carl Jung's wife, wrote the book Anima, Animus.
Okay. So I'm going to tell our listener and our follower, you heard what Dr. Allen said about those tools. So get a copy of them and stand in the mirror and practice if you have to, but do it. Go for it. Dr. Allen, you have a wonderful set of CDs, DVDs regarding over 50 relationships.
Yes, right.
Can you give us a little rundown of that? Because three of our listeners right now are sending me a request that you give us just a little synopsis of that set you have, and they're thinking of buying it, and I want you guys to all know that you can go to the Want Eye Store and you can find that fantastic product. Dr. Allen, what do you talk about on that?
Well, it's a neurobiological operation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So as women get older, and older is 45 to 50, perimenopause.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But as men get older, they have periandropause.
Right.
And it can be checked out by a doctor.
Right.
Now, when those chemistries change, they change for a reason. when a man is young, under 19, he's gushing testosterone.
Right.
Women are gushing estrogen. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
So men are basically going after, according to Harvard anyway, going after a sensual sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the partner is going after status and financial stability to have a home and a family.
Right.
But as we know, we're all both male. My doctoral work is androgynous semantic realignment.
Yes, it is.
I deal with the quantum mechanics of words to influence the quantum physics of energy,
mm-hmm.
yin and yang energy. But we're all male and we're all female. When we get to 45 to 50, we start going into a biochemical, neurobiological change. And men start becoming more sensitive.
Right.
And women start becoming more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that couples over 50 split is because the women don't continue to pretend that they respect their wonderful hero man.
Gotcha.
I make more money than you do now. I want to be the man.
Right.
He will die on you.
Right.
I want you to understand, and I want the listeners to understand, there is a new phenomenon that is now being studied, and it's called the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
When you betray a man, got it?
Yes.
You can break his heart by betraying him, and the lower chamber will fill up with fluid, even though he's got a normal heart.
Right, right.
And that lower chamber, I've had two men be betrayed. One has his partner killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, well, he was dumped.
Right.
Okay.
Now, and let me ask you, Dr. Allen, is that a physiological condition?
It's physiological.
Or is it the masculine and feminine energy?
No.
Okay.
No. It's when you betray a man, when he puts his... It is life-threatening for a man to take on the responsibility of a woman and the kids. Life-threatening.
Okay.
Because he runs the risk. There are 15 old ladies to every one man.
Right.
Do you understand?
I do.
And I'm one of the old ladies.
Right.
But my men, yeah, my husband died in 03. I had a boyfriend for 7 years. He died. I had a boyfriend for 5 years. He died. But they died smiling and totally respected.
There you go.
Do you see what I mean?
I do. I see exactly.
And I have some candidates in the wings.
That's always good.
No, that is always good. But I fake beta.
Makes sense. Hey, we've got a call. We have time for one more quick call. All right, caller, we have time for a very quick call. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question about the saying, men need to do good to feel good, women need to feel good to do good. I just wanted to know what the research was behind that or how she came up with that.
It's called estrogen and testosterone. It is. I'm a nerd. I am a scientist. That uses, I don't do prudish, religious, psychological, whatever. None of this is theoretical. Everything I teach is based on science.
So testosterone makes men want to do good, and once they've done good, they feel good. And then the thing
you got it. And women, if they're really women, need to feel good. But here's the problem. If a woman is raised by a father who wanted a boy, and mine did, we prematurely start doing good. And we are cancer trainees. Overgiving women are cancer trainees. Undergiving men are cancer trainees. It takes men's energy to stop them from being giving, protecting, and cherishing. A man who wants to be a pueriternus is using his energy to suppress his responsibilities. And that's cancer training.
Because it gives you too much of the testosterone or too much estrogen?
No, what it does is it misuses his testosterone. It misuses it. And he doesn't end up with the results. Men that are raised to be women want to be given to. But the problem with that is when they don't get given to, they get angry. And that anger produces the cortisol, which is a precursor for cancer. Overgiving women and undergiving men are cancer trainees.
Thank you. Any other books or research I could look up to
Pardon?
Know more about this?
Books
Any
or
other
research?
Books or research I can look at for this?
That go with this particular process? Dr. Teresa Crenshaw, her book is The Alchemy of Love and Lust. Arthur Janoff's book, The Biology of Love. Let's do some more. David Buss's book, based on the Harvard study, The Evolution of Desire. Women Want Status and Finances, Men Want Sensual and Sexual.
That's it, Dr. Allen. Thank you, caller.
Plus mine, Getting to I Do.
Getting to I Do. Yay! Okay, thanks, caller. Dr. Allen, we're out of time. I don't know how it happens, but it slips past us so quickly. What have you got to say?
I'm going to say the thing that I know works. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the contracts you're willing to make and keep.
Follow us on Facebook and go to www.drpatallen.com to find out all kinds of fantastic information. We love you. Come on back next week.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.